On the Media is supported by ZipRecruiter. Hiring? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/OTM. That's ZipRecruiter.com/OTM. On the Media is supported by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interests in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at quickenloans.com/OTM.
WNYC Studios.
This week, the World Health Organization released its long-awaited Interphone Meta Study into the link between cell phones and brain cancer. 10 years and $24 million later, it couldn't find a link, only the vague suggestion of a link. Very unsatisfying, not just because it was inconclusive, but because cell phone technology and usage has radically changed since that data was collected, it's probably irrelevant. We'll report this as an object lesson in how hard science can be to report, but be forewarned, you won't be satisfied either. Dr. Daniel Krusky is one of the authors of the Interphone study.
Overall, the study did not show any clear evidence of an increased risk of either glioma or meningioma. These are the two main types of brain cancer. But in the highest user group for cell phones in the Interphone study, that's the top 10% of cell phone users, who used the phone for more than 1,640 hours cumulatively, we did see a suggestion of an increased risk of glioma, an odds ratio of 1.4, which means a 40% increase relative to the background glioma rate.
Aren't you burying the lead there, that there appeared to be, from your study, a 40% increase in risk if you logged beyond a certain number of hours of cell phone use?
That's what the data would suggest at face value, but if you look at all of the other exposure categories that we had, there was actually no evidence whatsoever of an increase in risk.
I don't understand.
Well, it's just in the highest category of utilization that there was a possible association. There was some concern that the reporting accuracy in that group may not have been perfect. And we also have some questions getting at some of the weaknesses of the study with recall bias and selection bias, some of which we can correct for, some of which we cannot.
In other words, some people may not remember how much they actually use their cell phone.
That's correct. The group did look carefully at that highest decile of cell phone use, noticed that there was a significant increase, and did draw attention to that. But considering the limitations of the data, we're not willing to conclude that that was a causal relationship.
You're accepting the correlation but discounting the causal relationship?
We are taking that as a suggestive correlation that needs to be followed up in the future. We do require continued vigilance with this technology because we haven't unambiguously answered the question. It's a little embarrassing as a scientist to say we've spent 10 years and $25 million and we're not absolutely sure what's going on. But there are limits of science, and we were pushing the limits of science with this large-scale investigation.
One criticism is that the amount of phone use was so much smaller back then.
It does apply to the conditions of use that were in place at the time the Interphone study was designed and executed. If you look at our top 10% of cell phone users, those individuals who use the phone for more than 1,640 hours cumulatively, that averages out over a 10-year period to only a half hour a day, which would be considered perhaps not heavy use by today's standards.
I guess that's the problem. Phones were different back then. Have you produced news we can't use?
Once you start down that road of designing a study to go into the field in the year 2000, you're basically working under conditions that were in place at that time. I think we should take some comfort in the fact that we've done the largest study by far ever conducted on a population basis in 13 countries of cell phone use and cancer risk. Overall, we see no risk. I think that should be comforting from the public health point of view. At the same time, the hints of associations in the high-dose group from Interphone and some similar hints from other studies, I think those suggestions need to be followed up, and I think further research in this area is warranted.
Dr. Krusky, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Dr. Daniel Krusky is one of the authors of the Interphone study. One area in particular he says needs more research is the effect of cell phones on children. No young people were included in the Interphone study, and this is just one of the many complaints Dr. Devra Davis has with it. She says this meta study also excluded data from more recent studies that looked at more frequent mobile phone users, and which do suggest harmful effects from cell phone use. She says concerns about the dangers of cell phones can actually be found in the fine print of your cell phone manual.
BlackBerry, for example, will tell you to hold the BlackBerry 0.98 inches from the body. T-Mobile says, I believe it's 0.98 inches. The iPhone, it says at least 15 millimeters, parenthesis, 5/8 of an inch away from the body. I surmise that they did this because they understood that if you held the phone directly on the body, you would be exceeding the recommended specific absorption ratio. That's the SAR. And those have been set in concert with recommendations of the FDA and the FCC. But those original SAR calculations were established in 1993 based on the head of a 6-foot-tall man who weighed 200 pounds, having a head that weighed about 11 pounds. Most of the people using cell phones around the world today do not have 11-pound heads. More than half of them are very young.
The kind of radiation that comes from a phone is non-ionizing radiation. That is to say, an electron isn't removed, making an unstable situation. It's merely exciting the atoms, right?
Well, that's right. And we used to think that it was completely innocuous at these very low powers. I certainly thought that for years when I had 2 or 3 cell phones. But in fact, more recent research that's been done in Sweden, in Japan, in Israel, in Finland, has shown that non-ionizing radiation at very, very low power, but with the digital pulsed signal that you get with today's smartphones, that radiation has profound biological effects.
Do you get accused of being a conspiracy theorist, of being part of the, you know, aluminum foil hat brigade?
Oh gosh. No, because you see, at this point, there are very respected scientists at the leading institutions. I mean, does the Finnish Nuclear Radiation Agency sound like a lunatic group?
Some people are shrugging in the control room.
Well, all right. Take a look and see. They advised, most recently in January of this year, that there should be simple precautions in using cell phones.
What would a study have to find for you to be convinced that cell phones are safe?
We would need 30 more years to see no excess risk of brain cancer. That's what we need. The Europeans are going to do exactly that, a 30-year study, and that study is going to follow people carefully and see what their cell phone habits are. And at the end of that study, you'll have an answer.
Well, except the phones will continue to change. So you're going to run into the same problems in the next 30 years, at least 100 times worse than there were in the last 10.
You know, you're raising questions I really can't answer for you. But I can tell you this. I would like the government to use some of that funds that they collect every month for cell phones to fund independent research. Why did the United States of America not participate in the world's largest study of brain cancer and cell phones? Is it because the question is totally resolved? I don't think so.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Dr. Devra Davis is the author of Disconnect, due out in September, and the founder of the Environmental Health Trust. James Geary wrote about the health consequences of cell phones earlier this year in Popular Science magazine. Months ago, he predicted that this study would indeed solve nothing. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So let's look at some of the headlines. No conclusive link between mobile phones and cancer. Study shows more research is needed. Study shows small increase in brain cancer.
Well, unfortunately, all those headlines are true. And equally unfortunately, all those headlines are incomplete.
But let's face it, the study isn't helping the situation very much. Part of the problem is trying to prove a negative. If a study doesn't find a clear connection, that could mean that there is in fact no connection, or it could mean that the study wasn't conducted very well or wasn't looking for the right thing or wasn't big enough.
Yeah, I think you're right. If you read the Interphone paper itself, probably half, if not two-thirds of the paper, was an explanation of why these results are unreliable rather than what the results actually were. But that's not due to incompetence on the part of the researchers. It has to do with the fact that the study itself was initiated more than 10 years ago, and so the technology was different and the people using it were different.
I know the industry paid in part for the Interphone study, and I wonder how big was the industry's role in crafting the message either of the study or around the study.
There are many people who, you know, believe there is a vast conspiracy to cover up the scientific research that suggests there is a risk from cell phone radiation, and the main culprits behind that alleged cover-up are obviously the cell phone makers themselves. And having spoken with cell phone manufacturers, many, if not all of them, fund these studies through a sort of blind trust. They give money to an organization, and that organization then funds studies without any kind of input or knowledge of the cell phone makers. I mean, obviously, that doesn't mean there is no influence.
What about a PR effort, like the junk science organizations that were created by the tobacco industry?
Well, there's obviously a huge PR effort going on, but the fact is that most of the studies are on their side. Most studies suggest there is not a correlation. The scientists whom I interviewed who did believe there could be a risk, none of them said cell phones cause brain cancer. They don't believe that. What they did suggest were that there could be mechanisms that we don't understand whereby cell phone radiation could sort of damage the immune system or cause DNA breaks that could lead to a weakened immune system. That combined with other environmental factors could have a cumulative effect. And that is what we should be studying and not looking at a very, very small subset of that question, do cell phones cause brain cancer? Because most of the evidence suggests that they do not. But there are enough indications and enough respectable, reliable studies to suggest that there could be something going on. And that, in my opinion, needs to be explained in a way that does not exaggerate the risk or the safety of what's going on.
Where do you wear your cell phone?
I don't carry it on my body. I use it maybe two or three times a day, and probably half the time I'm texting rather than talking. I think they're very useful and fun devices. But exactly because they're so useful and so ubiquitous, I think we really need to do the research and find out what's going on with them, if anything.
James, thank you very much.
Thank you.
James Geary is an author and contributor to Popular Science magazine.